there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elk.
And we today are talking about The Last Magician. But I don't want you to be worried that this is our last podcast episode. It was very confusing when I read the book because I saw that it was The Last Magician and I bugged Elk for days and days. And I said, where is the first book? And she kept on saying this was the first book. But anyone with a brain could see that if the book says last, it obviously can't be the first book. So it was very confusing. And I don't want you guys to leave us because we like you. So just to be clear, the episode is about The Last Magician, but it's not the last episode. And in fact, this book is the first one, not the last one. I hope I've made that very clear.
Also, there's more magicians in the world because magic is real.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, good. There we go. So,
yeah.
The Last Magician is by Lisa Maxwell, and the short of it is that you have these people who have different kind of affinities or like their magic ability powers. Each one is kind of different, and it's sort of this like time traveling thing. So you have Esther, who's the main girl, and she lives in the modern world, or what the modern world looks like, because basically, they're all in New York. I think they're all on the island of Manhattan, even. And there's this like barrier mm-hmm. around them, so nobody with a special power can leave the island. Because if you do, then it drains you out of everything and kills you. Whatever bad stuff happens when you try to leave. Anyway, she's a time traveler. That's part of her powers, that she could travel through time. And until now, she's been going to all these different places in time, all these different times and places, and she's been stealing stuff for her boss, and eventually she realizes, like, oh, the things she's stealing aren't just, like, arbitrary, like, trinkets. Like, they're actually putting something together for something big to happen. Anyways, most of the book focuses on her going back in time to the early 1900s. She's going after a book. Bum, bum, bum! She's going after a book that she has to get for her boss man, because this is going to be the book that's going to free everybody, because it's so powerful, etc. That's the short version of what the story is about.
Which is much shorter than the book. I liked the book, but it felt really long, which is not usually a good thing to say, because even really long books will feel short if you're really into it. But this one, even though I enjoyed it, I just felt like it took a long time to get to the story. Like, we had to see her do this other heist in the past before she came back to the future or the present, and then had to go back to a different time to do a different heist to sort of set up who she was. And I don't know, it just felt like it took a while to get there. And then the book ended up being really long. There were a few extra characters and extra things going on, like little side romances or side things that I thought, I guess, added to the world and made it more full. But I think the book would have been just as full and the plot just as clear if we hadn't had some of these extra side things going on.
That's fair. And there also is, we're going to return again to the point that we made with Anne with an E, is there's also the superimposing of 21st century values in this 1900s world. And Esther kind of does it in this way of, like, she'll notice something that, like, oh, it doesn't work like that the way the world is now, but, like, she reminded herself that the world was different. Which is like, wow, I'm so glad she's so forward thinking and so pure to be so forgiving of these heathens that lived in the 1900s. Like, there were just different things. Like, because I don't remember what the one girl's name is, the one with the knives that, like, they kind of imply that she's got, like, a gay crush, or they kind of imply that she's definitely lesbian, basically, right? Because she loves the girl who's not going to love her back in the same way because supposedly that girl's straight or whatever. And it's like, Esther was just like, oh, I want you to know that I'm okay with it. And then, like, she had to remind herself that you can't really speak about it because in the 1900s, it wasn't something that was spoken of. Like, why was that necessary, really? Like, come on. Come on, people. Yeah.
That was one of the things that I thought, like, why? Because the girl that she has, spoiler alert, the girl that she has a crush on gets killed. And she's really sad about it, and everyone gives her a little bit of extra space because she's really sad. But what if they were, like, sisters? That's also a very close relationship. Not everything has to be... That's the thing just in general. Not every relationship has to be romantic. I don't care if it's straight or gay. I don't understand why a male and female character always have to hook up if they're the two main characters in a book. And I don't understand why other characters also have to be romantically involved. There are other strong... You know, there's... surrogate parent, you know, someone who's like in a parental role to someone who never really had a parent, or sibling type roles, or, you know, just super close friends. Not everything has to be romance all the time.
Yeah. Or even like they grew up on the street together, so they have a special kind of bond, or they served X together, or whatever it is. Yeah, right. We never gave our grading. Oh, look, we got so excited. Clutching pearls all over the place. So violence is a 3, language is a 4, and romance is a 2. So language is a 4.
The violence.
Oh, sorry. No, language is a 4, I think, because they use the B word, not the F. I don't think there's an F bomb there, but I think there's the B word in there.
Yeah, there's definitely the B word, a couple, and other words.
Yeah, that and other words, yeah.
Put it up there. So language is high. The violence is high because it's a teenage heist movie, so people are getting beat up and shot, and knives are getting thrown, and there's an implication of people being tortured for their information. So it's gruesome, and it's also gritty. You know, it has that early 20th century mean streets of New York grittiness about it, which doesn't make the violence worse, but just brings it into more relief, I think. So that's where the violence is. I don't think any of it's too... I'm trying to remember back if anything was too graphic. I don't think anything was too graphic, but it was frequent enough to warrant a 3.
Yeah, it was not overly graphic. Yeah. And then the romance is a 2. That actually goes back to kind of what we're talking about, that just because there's like a man, just because there's a boy and a girl doesn't mean they have to hook up at some point. And this one was kind of like Esther, when she first goes back in time, she knows she has to find this one person. Or whatever it is. So she ends up in this kind of like, I don't know what you want to call it, a club, casino, the Haymarket kind of place. Yeah, one of the, like, you know, like the underworld is running the place, and you're not supposed to use your magic there, right? Or your special, whatever your special power affinity is, you're not supposed to use it there because they're trying to keep everybody, you know, quote unquote, straight and honest, kind of. And she doesn't know that, obviously, so she starts using it. And then you have the guy, who's the last, he may or may not be the last
magician, Hart.
Yeah. He, like, sees her, and he's like, oh, no, she's using her ability, that or whatever. And he goes, and he starts, like, he takes her to start dancing with her. She's like, what is he doing? Like, get his hands off me, blah, whatever. And then he realizes that the guards are, like, sensing that she's using her affinity, blah, blah, blah. And then basically he just, like, randomly kisses her, because that's gonna, you know, throw people off the scent. And it's like, first of all, what? It was so abrupt when I was reading it. And then it was also, like, she sits in that kiss a little bit, like, oh, she didn't want to be kissing him. And then he was like, oh, it's nice to be kissing him. And oh, whatever. And then they break away, whatever. And she runs away from him. And then they keep going back to that kiss. Like, they're trying to get the Esther's new boss back, you know, in the 1900s. He's like, oh, we need Hart on our side. Get Hart on our side. It's like, well, Hart can't resist her after they have that kiss, even though he wants to resist her. But now he's like, he can't ever stop thinking about that kiss. And you're like, where did that even come in? If a strange guy comes over to you and kisses you, you punch him in the face, and then you kick them a couple of times in other places, and you run away, and you don't ever think of them again. You don't think that you're falling in love with him. It doesn't work like that.
That's true. For all of her women are strong and independent, can take care of themselves stuff, she fell for that. She let a guy... I mean, she does, after he kisses her, she does then, like, black his eye or something, so she does get it back, but she still keeps on thinking about it, which... Yeah, I agree with you. If some random dude came up and kissed me, I wouldn't keep thinking about it positively.
Right, exactly. We call that like harassment these days, or we call that assault?
Yeah, definitely harassment. Yeah.
Yeah, so for all your superimposing of 21st century values, how about superimposing that? Like, random people don't get to kiss other people. No.
Yeah. Which is why romance is a 2. It's just because there are a lot of different characters in it. It seems to be a somewhat of a focus, like they keep coming back to each other, and it's a focus, which I would rather them just start liking each other as comrades and figuring out, oh, we got to work together, we're going to make this happen. And then maybe, okay, you know, romance might build fine, but.
Yeah, you have to build so romance is a.
Yes. But it wasn't very graphic romance other than that kiss. I don't think they go further
than maybe that. They do kiss again. But yeah, they don't go further than kissing. And then there's also a point where blah, 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 the things happen and they have to, like, move in together at some point. And part of this Estes character, just because, like, oh, she's defying, you know, all the norms. She's defying, like, what everybody thinks girls should be. So she comes to the apartment, and there's also, it's a one-bedroom apartment. Hart doesn't exactly have, he's not exactly living in a mansion. So it's like, okay, well, I guess you'll sleep on the couch. She's like, no, I'm a lady. I'll sleep on the bed, which, fine. And yes, Hart should have said, you're a lady, sleep on the bed. But she goes to take the bed for herself. And then there's, like, the next morning when she's up in the bathroom or whatever, and he kind of peeks in and he sees that you know, the bed's unmade and there's clothes all over the floor kind of thing. That's like really messy. Like, look, see, I'm not, I don't have to be a lady. I'll need and whatever. And it's like, come on. It's so off putting. Like you barged into somebody else's apartment. You took his bedroom, which is somebody's personal space. At least respect the space. Like, pick up your clothes, make the bed. I don't care if you take the bed, but make it. Like, don't think that you could just be treating everything like all, you know, be negligent of other people's spaces. That does not make her appealing.
Yeah, it took me a while to like her. I finally did, but I know Hart is sort of supposed to be the, I don't know if he's quite the antagonist, but at least he's the quote unquote bad guy that she's chasing, that she has to stop because they're both trying to get the book, but for different reasons. But right. I ended up liking him and having more sympathy for his character than I did for hers for quite some time. I finally just accepted the fact, I guess, that she was the main character and was in. I think the more time that she spent in the past and the more she realized that it was different, the more I liked her. But yeah.
It's almost like when she gets a little bit more toned down, isn't just like walking all over everything. There kind of is, like, when she first goes to the past, there's a set feeling that she's just like, that she's barging into every closed room, kind of. Which, like, oh, look, she's such a brash, independent thinking, whatever. It's like, no, that's not always the right, it's not always the right decision. It's not always respectful. Like, you're not impressing us by having her walk on everybody's toes. Sometimes it's needed, but it's not needed all the way through.
I do want to say, since we talked about it briefly, because I want to get to the magic part of it, because I feel like it's handled very well, but since we're talking about the 21st century values overlaid onto a different time, so she joins this gang that's all involved with the heist, like a team that's going to do the heist, and one of the guys, they have the main heist, but they have another heist that they have to do before that, and I've never said the word heist so many times in my life, by the way. When they're doing that, she saves this guy's life and he's grateful, but he also, I don't know, he doesn't really say thank you, or he's sort of in shock, and I think he's sort of surprised by the fact that a woman did it, but she brings it up and said, oh, you don't think a woman can be as good as you? Right. And he says, no. And she says, well, a woman just saved your life. And first of all, different times, and he probably wasn't used to women being involved in his life that way. Second of all, I don't think that in the past people didn't think women were as good as men. I'm not saying nobody thought that way,
right?
And it probably depended upon the culture, but it wasn't a better or worse than thing. It was a different from or different than
right
situation. So it's not that, oh, a woman isn't good enough to save my life. It's that a woman's probably not going to be the one who's got my back on this heist. It's going to be another guy. Plus, he's part of a gang. He also comes from a Chinese family, so that's a very different culture,
right?
With different views on men and women. But I just thought it's not like everyone in the past thought women were bad. It was just, you do different things, we do different things, and
yeah. And if he would have gone sick, who would have taken care of him? Probably a woman,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, so. And also because you have the knife throwers in the gang. So what, he thinks she's never going to have his back? That was a little bit. It was a little bit forced. That, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I do want to talk. Like, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, I was just going to go into the magic, so you can finish.
No. Maybe it would make more sense just be like, well, I never expected a girl to be holding her own in our gang because we've always been a guy group, and it's nice to open. I don't know. Maybe
there are ways to do.
Yeah, there are ways to do it.
Yeah. Probably. Look at us talking from our high horses of. Or low horses of a basement.
Well, hey, I'm a writer, so I know that there's ways to do things if you want to. So,
oh, that's true. We defer to your
superior wisdom. Yeah, so my horse, I don't have to get off of my high horse entirely.
But I do want to talk about, so I said the magic, because it's a different. I think Lisa Maxwell creates a really interesting world of how magic works, and it's not super clear, but I guess a lot of times it's like that with magic. You're not really sure why some people have it and other people don't. Just some people do and some people don't. And it's not clear whether or not you're born to it. Like if you have to have a parent who's also a magic person, but they call it having an affinity, which I think is interesting. So it's not Harry Potter type magic where you have a wand, and then you can cast, you know, you can do defense against the dark arts, but you can also make things float or turn things into other things. You just, there are certain things you can do. So Esta, for instance, she has an affinity for slipping in and out of time. So that's her thing. That's what she does. So different people have different affinities, and it's not so clear where it comes from, but the people that they're fighting against, who are trying to keep the magic people down in their place, they think that magic comes from the elements. So earth, water, fire, and air. And interestingly, they can also wield magic, but it's sort of a fake magic because there is power in the elements, but the affinities that people have recognize that the elements all work together, whereas the people who are doing the fake magic, they can harness the power, but they think that it's, oh, the air. So I'm harnessing the power of the air instead of sort of recognizing the what's the word I'm looking for, yeah, when things all go together?
Relationship or the way it's like interwoven into each other.
Yeah, and the it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, it's It'll a little like X-Men. When they each have their affinity. It's kind of like X-Men. Like they can each do their one thing.
Yes, exactly. But I thought it was interesting, and I like the way that she travels in time. It shows her that she's sort of look. She can only time travel to the same spot. So if she's in front of the Empire State Building, when she travels in time, she's going to be at the same spot.
Right.
And she's sort of going through the layers of time. Like, she's feeling her way through it. So it's not just a snap of the fingers, but she has to feel it out to make sure she gets to the right place in the right time. Anyway, I always like seeing how different authors deal with magic or time travel or other mythical things. And I thought she did it well. I also thought the time travel was very clear. We didn't have too much of, or any of, oh, I'm seeing myself in the same time, or what happens to the future when the past, I mean, there was, the future did change when the past changed, but I don't know, I just
yeah, she does.
She did it well.
Yeah, the time travel is pretty clean, especially because time travel is very, I think, notoriously hard to write, and she did keep it, it's very understandable the way she does it, which is
exactly.
A lot of credit due to the author for that.
Absolutely. And I am excited to read the second book, which unfortunately isn't called The Middle Magician or The Middle Time Traveler. It's called The Devil's Thief, which is just confusing because I think if you're going to go with calling your first book The Last Something, then your middle book should be The Middle Something and the next book should be The First of Something.
Or it should be The Second to Last Magician. Or the Just Kidding, There's Another Magician.
Just Kidding, There's Another Magician. I like that. I think we should write a book called Just Kidding, There's Another Magician.
Okay, we should take care of that. We should take care of that and think of all the different ways that we could create series titles that actually move backwards in time in the title of the book.
But the story itself will move forward.
Oh, we have quite a task ahead of us.
We do. So I guess we better sign off. So thank you all for listening. Oh, that's it. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Cheers, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Oh My Word. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to subscribe and write a review. And please share the show with your friends. If you didn't like it, you can share the show with your enemies. Please also follow us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast. There we post episode updates, our ratings for each book, and also our personal reading recommendations. Music for the show is by Tim Burke. Editor is Gabriel Yaffe. We'll see you next week.